What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Cryptid of the Corn Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm J-Clone 63.
Woo! It rhymed. It only works half the time.
See? No, I was still rhyming with what I was saying.
Oh, I was rhyming with you.
Oh.
We're going to talk about Dennis Martin.
Who? Dennis Martin.
Mm-hmm. A disappeared boy.
Not the guy that lives down the road?
Do we have a Dennis Martin?
Probably.
I know a lot of Dennises.
That's a very common name.
Dennis Martin?
I mean, both names are pretty common.
I just was doing something recently, and there was another Justin England.
Uh-huh. Was it that guy on TikTok?
No, I know there are, because I've Googled it sometimes and seen, like, there's a race car driver, a lawyer. Like, there are a couple, like, notable.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, England spelled my way is not super common. It's normally the A, like, the A one.
Huh? The A one?
England?
England? You know, I don't know anybody with that last name.
Not around here, because it's my group from Kentucky.
I don't know anyone anywhere.
I met a bunch of Englands with the A, because it's Anglo-land, Anglo-Saxon.
Right.
Because when they got to Ellis Island, they misspelled it.
Oh, nice.
Or no, they misspelled England for, like, the country. So it was supposed to be Angoland.
Right.
And there's variations of that last name still. So I'm a part of that group. But when they got to Ellis, they just couldn't figure out what, like, to spell it, so the guy just put England on it.
Yeah, they're from England.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah, now go to Kentucky. Go to Kentucky, and then after a couple generations, all your family, everyone moved to this small town in Ada, small town called Ada, Ohio, and just...
In Walpock.
Yes. Everyone from here, you all move there, and then you all have kids and kids and kids. And so we're all just cousins.
So we're going to talk about some feral people stuff, feral humans.
Speaking of cousins.
Yeah. These could be my relation.
Yeah.
But specifically, Dennis Martin, I just found out about this story. I'm using an article by John Gullion. He wrote an article about this, and why it speaks is it's happening in Cades Cove, which I'm using my Cades Cove cup.
Wow.
For this episode.
Cades Cove cup.
Yeah. So it's Great Smoky Mountain National Park is so where this happened.
Tennessee.
Cades Cove is the like the front of it.
Okay.
Where the campground and a bunch of stuff you can hike and walk to. So where a lot of these disappearances happened, I've been at, we've hiked through since we were little kids.
Hmm.
And I know there's been, it's just so weird because Cades Cove is so popular. This Great Smoky Mountain National Park is so large and highly popular. I mean, I think they say millions, tens of millions of visitors a year for Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
Okay, that's how much they have visiting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the loop itself, which is Cades Cove Loop, which is 21 miles,
mm-hmm.
is, I mean, sometimes car to car the whole 21 miles for looking at bears and elk and whatnot. And they do have some bison back.
Oh.
But a lot of bear. It's like if you want to go see a bear, it's the place.
That's the spot to see
them. Besides, like downtown Gatlinburg.
There's a bear in her cup.
Yeah.
I mean, can't be hit the nail on the head anymore.
A lot of rattlesnakes, though.
Well, did you know, though, down there, too, that in Tennessee, it's the most biodiverse place for amphibians on the planet?
Fish and amphibians
on the planet. Mm-hmm. Tennessee. Do you know that?
Yeah. Great Smoky Mountain National Park, specifically, because there are three species of salamander that are only found in the park.
On the planet! It's wild. Tennessee. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, but this is a cold case. It's so weird. And we wanted to talk about feral people for a while. And I think they're going to be a season finale just because there's so much about them.
Feral people?
Yeah. Yeah. Like actual feral. So in Townsend, we actually got to talk to... So before I even get into the article, I'll tell you some back like story that we've done. Townsend in the Tabahoosee Caverns there in Townsend, Tennessee, which is Cades Cove in the middle. It's really cool. They undersold how big the stuff is in the ground, the cave. The one room is 4 or 5 football fields wide.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a sideways stalactite, on the ceiling because the water's coming out the side, like because it's pressurized.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's it called when it comes out of the wall?
It's just because it's the water that...
I know.
Yeah.
But still, there should be a name.
It doesn't look that big, but it's like the size. The guy showed us on the ground outside. It's like the size of 3 or 4 SUVs.
Wow.
And the geologists tell him it's going to fall soon. And he's like, in geological time speak, that's within the next 10,000 years, it's going to fall.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but he's like, it could be now. And he looked up at it.
And everyone like, yeah.
And like, it's going to happen. He's like, it's going to work one of these times. It's going to be with one of the tour groups. I'm going to go. It's now.
And then it happens. It actually breaks.
But they were talking about feral people. So when the Great Depression hit, he was talking about his grandpa in the area because it's like they use the caves to raise trout. There's a stream in there full of trout.
Huh.
And they used it as a food source because it's clean water. But he said some of their neighbors, it's not a paranormal tour. It's not a ghost tour. He was just talking about the history of Cades Cove. And said that some of his grandpa's neighbors just disappeared out in the woods because they couldn't afford to survive anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and just, they went feral, mm-hmm. you know, or not full on like hunter gatherer. They went to animals.
There is a difference.
No, there's a big difference.
Yeah. I just want to make that point. Yeah,
feral is feral. It is nuts. Like you're animalistic.
Well, yeah, no, I know.
Feral is feral. It's not like, so I know we'll talk about like skunk. I know homeless people live in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're hunter gatherer trader lifestyle.
But when
they are not feral people.
No, when you're feral, you're basically living the animalistic, like.
You're an animal.
Yeah.
You're the whole animal part of your brain is taken over.
Yeah. You're not living like, I don't want to say civilized society, but you know.
You're not civil.
You're not using language and communication. Our language as a form of communication.
You're just much more animalistic.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about mountain men. We're not talking about people that live by themselves out in the woods.
Correct.
Like animalistic is
like,
feral.
Like you take on dog-like qualities or behaviors or cat-like behaviors. Or. Yeah.
All right. So ready to talk about Dennis Martin?
Yes.
He was 6 years old in June of 1969. It was Father's Day weekend when they hiked near Tennessee-North Carolina border. which was a Martin family tradition. William Martin, his father, Clyde, his grandfather, and the two boys started at Cade's Cove, which I've been to hundreds of times. It's like a family tradition. We love Cade's Cove. When we would go to Florida once a year, we'd always stop at Cade's Cove on the way.
Okay.
In Tennessee.
Just got to be the stop.
It was just, I don't know. My dad's dad took him there, and it's just always been, what?
You just remind me of something. Okay, so there's this, you know, I'll tell you really quick. It's just a fun little story. It was this woman and her husband. She made this huge, like, lamb leg. Mm-hmm. And it like, gigantic, you know, the whole thing. And before she cut it, or before she cooked it, she cut off just the huge chunk, the big fat chunk. And she's struggling to get the knife through the bone and everything. She's trying to cut it. Can't. Husband comes in there and he helps her. He finally gets it and chunks it off for her. And they're both tired. And he's looking at her. He's like, why did you do that? She's like, I don't know. She's like, my mom always did it. So that's just what we do. So the next time she was at her mom's house, she's like, mom, you know, we got the big lamb leg and cut the end off. And I don't know why, you know, why did you cut the end off? And her mom just looks at her and goes, well, it's because my mom always did it. I don't know. That's just what we did. So they finally went to their grandma, who was still alive. And they talked to her and they're like, you know, grandma, like, I cook the lamb leg this way. Mom cooks the lamb leg this way. We always cut the big chunk end off. Why did you do that? We just do it because you did it. And she said, well, the oven wasn't big enough to fit the whole thing in.
Mm, you've shared that before.
She just cut the end off.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know why we do the things we do. We just...
That's the monkey experiment. We've had the same conversation before.
Yeah. You just do it.
Monkeys.
Yep.
So his father, William, grandfather, Clyde, and the two boys, Cade's Cove, hiked to Russell's Field, and they camped there overnight. Afterwards, they made their way to Spencer's Field, where they met another family with young boys, also by the name of Martin. It was late in the afternoon, and the boys were enjoying each other's company. Dennis was wearing a bright red shirt when he and his brother, along with the other boys, planned a prank on the relaxing adults in Spencer's Field area along the Appalachian Trail. The goal was to hide behind the adults and pop up to surprise them. However, the adults knew what the boys were up to. They watched as the three boys went out of their way to sneak behind them through the brush, while Dennis went the other direction as an all intents and purposes off to face the earth. Over the years, there have been people that have mysteriously gone missing in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. One of the most famous cases is the disappearance of the young boy, Dennis Martin, we just talked about. These baffling disappearances like Dennis's have sparked interest in rumors and theories of everything from feral people and wild men in the mountains to more, you know, paranormal cases. But the disappearance directly. The three boys performed their prank, all in good fun. When Dennis didn't pop out from another angle, William got up to look for him. He hadn't been out of sight more than 5 minutes, but William searched the area and quickly turned frantic.
Mm.
So he's like, he has to be around here. I've been in all these areas. You can still go to these areas. Like, they're highly popular. We used to camp out here in this exact area.
Okay.
And this is where the bear tried to get in our tent.
Oh, nice. Maybe it wasn't a bear.
No, we seen it.
Okay.
No, it was...
Maybe it was something dressed as a bear.
There you go.
Sneaking around, trying to be sneaky. Just a bear.
The father ran back to the trail towards Russell's Field, hoping the boy had gotten turned around and just gone the wrong direction. Others combed the area as well. Clyde eventually hiked to the park ranger station, arriving at 9 p.m. By then, a massive storm had arrived, drenching the mountains in extremely heavy rainfall and dropping overnight temperatures into the low 50s. So all of a sudden, it's just a storm opens up, drops the temperature down. It's cold. It's free. You know, it's not freezing, but it's very 50 degrees and pouring rain is very cold.
Oh, yes.
We just put a house up in that.
Gosh. And windy.
The next day, the search was hampered by 2.5 inches of rain.
That's a lot of rain.
And especially in the mountains, because it doesn't absorb. It's all rock.
Okay.
So it's shooting down.
Yeah.
And extremely dense fog. As word spread of the missing boy, more and more people started coming out to help the search, and a massive response grew. The counterproductive search party. Over the next few weeks, the search party grew to an unwieldy and counterproductive size.
Okay.
So this is something now where people say that, no, like they cap off the number of people to search, and this is why. It's like cases like this. The Boy Scouts, the National Guard members, and multiple rescue squads, and even a group from 71 Green Berets, who had maneuvers in the western North Carolina, came and searched for the boy. Helicopters arrived as well. With so many searchers and volunteers, they trampled over the wet and muddy ground. Any clues or scents that could have been lingering from the boy in the massive rain were lost. Any proof or tracks were gone.
Gone, yep.
There was a boy-sized footprint that somebody wearing one Oxford shoe like Dennis or Denny had, and the other one was barefoot. The family members said the print was too big to belong to him, though, and the search parties were skeptical the area had been searched by the Boy Scouts previously who could have left the print.
Okay.
So it's just why it was so counterproductive is it was amazing how many people came out in response from all over.
Yeah.
But it completely destroyed the area of evidence.
Yep. It just, yep. Just too many people.
So if anybody's ever wondering, because I've seen this now where the National Guard or the FBI, whoever's running the search, will cut people off. Mm. So there are appropriate reasons why some organizations do that.
Okay.
Not just nefarious reasons. Because I've seen that like specifically with like the FBI, like looking for kids and stuff like that. Why wouldn't they want everybody out there helping?
Right.
These reasons. You lose all the evidence. You know, if you have too many people, and then you can't control where people looked over. Like they were getting confused where the Boy Scouts had gone.
Yeah.
Versus where this group had gone. So you could end up actually missing
spots,
whole swaths, because you would just assume somebody else has already gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking for a young kid,
they can literally be in any tiny mm-hmm. little spot you can imagine.
A single sock and shoe were also found, but it was unclear if the shoe was the right type or size, or if it was the correct foot to correspond with the muddy footprint. Those were essentially the only clues. The search for Dennis was the largest in the park's history.
Oh, wow.
Dennis was 6 when he disappeared, and he was never seen again. They say probably. So there were some odd testimonies from the family. The family was from Carthage, Tennessee, and was in the mountains that day looking for the wildlife in Cades Cove, several miles from where Dennis went missing. So this is a different family, but they have some weird testimony. They left without ever knowing about the search or a missing boy. Weeks later, when a father, Harold Key, learned about the search, he called the officers and reported hearing a scream and a figure running through the woods.
Mm.
News reports at the time indicated that Key's sons thought the figure was a bear standing up.
Interesting.
Later, they determined it to be a disheveled man hiding in the bushes.
Yeah, okay, that would be scary.
And Key says, he was definitely trying to avoid us, he quoted at the time. Officers discounted the connection between the disappearance and the distance roughly in Key's timeline. It was nearly impossible to think someone could snatch the boy and carry him away to this spot. Still, many have sized on this report, signing along with dozens of other internet-derived embellishments as the incident of Dennis was carried off in the mountains by a man. Reportedly, Dennis's father believed the boy was kidnapped, and at one point, a reward was offered for his safe return. So this Key family was just saying they didn't know, apparently, that a boy had been missing. They had seen a weird guy. They heard screams. But they're just like, I guess it was just a weird homeless, wild guy. Just 2-3 weeks later, they see it on the news.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we were like 14 miles from there. It's, you know, pretty far.
But
not disconnected. It's still in the national park, but it's just a big national park.
Right.
Exactly. Right? No, like the one car path is 21 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
Right. And you don't realize it. People try to walk it and stuff like that, and it takes all day, which is fine. But there's always somebody the ranger station has to pick up because they, like, well, I drove it in a car.
How far is a marathon? Isn't that like 26 miles or something? I mean, that's pretty far.
Yeah.
So 21, I mean.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I think that's right.
There's a lot of people have kind of lumped onto this as being that he was abducted by this feral human.
Okay.
But there's also been a lot of embellishments to this.
As most stories have. Yeah,
people hammering in or off details to make it fit.
Yeah, 26 miles is a marathon. So yeah, 5 miles off a marathon. And I don't know how long it takes to run a marathon. It took me 2.5 hours to jog a half marathon. So 5 hours for me to jog a marathon, that's constantly, I don't know, walking. Hey, yeah, you're right, all freaking day.
Over the years, the alleged counts made its way to the internet, where you know, internet sleuths. I had teamed up with conspiracy theorists to, and other curious folks to form their theories about feral humans in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park regarding with what happened to Dennis Martin. One of the most popular theories involves the Wild Man, a feral human who lives and survives in the mountain wilderness and goes on snatching livestock and children at night. So this is kind of...
Okay. What kind of livestock are we talking here? Hopefully chickens and stuff.
That's what I'm assuming, not a cow. Because there is livestock in the valley. There used to be houses in the valley and stuff like that. And there still are. There's a horse ranch where you can ride through the mountains in Cades Cove.
And like the gullies and stuff?
Like this whole Cades Cove area has four or five homesteads in it.
Okay.
That aren't in operation anymore, but they're preserve sites.
Oh, okay.
But they still run a farm on a couple of them for the historic nature. Oh, and then they have a giant horse ranch in the middle because you can ride horses. Like you pay like $10 and
they'll take you throughout.
And they'll take you on a horse ride through the mountain.
That's pretty cool.
Go see elk and stuff like that. So there is, I mean, there is livestock, but this idea of Bigfoot or a human had already a feral human had already existed in this area.
Okay.
Like we talked about with like the Great Depression, you know, in the early 1900s. Had triggered people had just walked into the woods and disappeared.
Right, yeah.
On purpose, because they couldn't afford their houses, they couldn't afford food, they're going to lose their homes, they lost everything.
Right.
So what do?
You live in nature.
You just walk out.
Yep.
And you become something else. There are videos on YouTube and social media, not of wild men, but of authoritative sounding people discussing the wild man and the FBI covered up as if it was simple knowledge. The wild men are something akin to what people say is like little Bigfeet. Whether they're actually young Bigfoot, Bigfoot, or just people.
Or like the thing Jake Dressel. Yeah.
People believe some humans have lived in the wild for so long, they're closer to beasts than any man. Some believe that they have their own language and apparently are quite a putrid smell from their forewarns their arrival, which is Bigfoot-esque. And also, anybody, I've been out in the woods for 3 or 4 days in a row.
You get pretty putrid
smelling. You get strong in the smell.
A little stank on you. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're doing stuff like
For sure, yeah. Well, I mean, Les Stroud talked about that too, like doing their survivalist show too. I mean, you sweat when you work, and you need to work to survive. And so, especially when it's cold out, you got to be careful how hard you work and pace yourself so you don't sweat too much, because then you get hypothermia. So yeah, it's just you're gonna stink being out in the woods for a while.
Allegedly, there are cannibals too.
Oh boy.
Now, I've heard this story in the same area in Townsend, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where they talk about the cannibals out in the woods, which I don't know. There's like abandoned towns out. It's all national park now. But like I said, you go through Cades Cove and you see the old homesteads. You see like all this stuff where there used to be bison and everything like that.
Where'd they go?
Mm-hmm. Wild men could be descendants of the mountain people who were deep into the forest before there was a park. And like the tribes of the rainforest operate outside the realm of society. There are, in South America, for example, there are tribes that still operate in conjunction around what you'd call civilized or industrialized culture.
Okay.
And you never see them. They're like mythical creatures. You know they're there, but they will not interact with you.
Yeah. Well, they know better.
So that's what they're getting at, is there could be... It's just weird in America, we have this idea that, no, that can't be. That can't exist.
Right, yeah.
But it can. And it's just, you know, people are incredibly smart. Mick Dodge, anybody who's never seen his show, watch it.
Mick Dodge?
He's out in the Pacific Northwest. He's this giant hairy guy, the mechanic.
Gotcha. Mick Dodge. Not, I was thinking like McDonald's, you know, Mick Dodge.
Oh, no. Mick.
Yeah.
M-I-C-K.
Gotcha. Dodge.
Dodge is his last name.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, he lives 24/7, 365 out in the woods.
Man. What a man. That's what one day I'd like to do that. And just not die, though.
Yeah, no, it's... He's rough. He's old. He looks older than he is.
Well, that's, you know, a rough and grizzled lifestyle for a rough and grizzled man.
One guy who made a video walking his rotund wiener dog through the cemetery there speculated that feral people could be indigenous people who slipped away before the Trail of Tears and survived in the forest well into the 1900s. So not actually feral. They're hidden indigenous people
that
are still avoiding... modern day culture and get seen every once in a while and keep the legend alive.
That's different than feral, but
yeah,
same spirit though.
That's what he's saying, is that it's, they're not necessarily feral but they are spreading the legend of feral people by being seen gotcha. Every once in a great while.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person that is, you know, out there
in the woods. Must be feral.
And this happened in several places in North America. Maybe I didn't know the Trail of Tears, the horrible thing that happened to the indigenous yeah. people, Native Americans or whatever. I don't know what the appropriate term is. But
Indians, and Native Americans. I mean,
I didn't mean Native American. Never mind Native American.
They changed the meaning of those words anyway. So it's, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't, who knows what any of it means anymore.
Not speaking it with any hostility.
Huh?
I said, I'm not speaking any of them with any hostility. Oh, exactly. Any
yeah.
ill intent.
No. Yeah. I'm just referring.
But yeah. So it could be that obviously they had such a horrible time with the settlers and the pioneers of that area, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Where they're like, yeah, I don't ever want to be around a white person again.
Which is not bad thinking when and that's what happened.
When you? When your whole family was made to walk to their death to Oklahoma.
It was terrible. Trail of Tears, terrible.
So that could be, there could still be some tribes hanging out there and just free, like living completely on the wild and just being seen every once in a great while.
Which I kind of hope that's happened or happening.
We've talked about that before.
I hope people just, I don't know, find a way to live and live outside of the purview of the government and the oppression.
So some people that have claimed to run into feral people in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park say that sometimes they speak English. Others, though, insist that they speak their own language and still say, some say they have no discernible speech. So if anybody didn't know, there's been several things where, like, the little girl was raised by dogs.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. In, like, Ukraine or something?
Yeah,
or
something like that.
Some country over there.
Where, you know, she barked and had, she thought she was a dog. They eventually rehabilitated her.
But she's still very, very limited.
She's very behind.
Yeah. Like,
she spent the first 15 years as being a dog.
Which is so sad, because her parents, I mean.
They threw her out with the dogs.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the story goes they were on drugs or something too. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, drugs in general, even that includes alcohol. Like, mm-hmm. it changes your perception of reality and what you care about, and it's not good. Do not advocate any of it.
The same guy indicated that his uncles were paid by the FBI to hunt the feral person population.
Wow.
Before Dennis's disappearance.
Wow.
Remember those Vietnam era Green Berets? One friends with conspiracy theorists would believe that they weren't there as part of the search party. They were there for their real mission, which was neutralizing feral humans.
Hmm. Hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding in the search party. Gosh.
His account is conflicting with most reports, though. If he were hunting feral people, they would have been armed. Most people say there's no reports of seeing them armed. They were there on a routine survival training, so they weren't armed when they were in North Carolina and came over.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The Green Berets.
Green Berets, yes. I was like, the feral people?
No. So if there had been a band of cannibalistic humans roaming the park and abducting and eating folks, you'd think they would have probably been armed when they were going out to hunt them.
Yeah, you would think so.
But yeah, so there's that part. We'll take our ad break, and then we'll come back and keep talking about it.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, which one are we doing?
Fishing and garlic.
Okay, fishing and garlic. I didn't know if you're going to play a button ad.
Nope.
Future anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio, go check them out online on Facebook and any of the socials. That what the future anglers of Indian Lake do is they provide a bunch of equipment, any equipment kids need to get out and go fishing. You know, poles, bait, tackle. Whether it's safety training, you know, for ice fishing. Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio, does a great job providing for the youth to get them out, get their feet wet in the field of fishing. And, you know, or let's say they get their bobbers wet. It's a good way to get started. Just for kids in general and the youth, it's a good program for the youth because we need to get kids outside, especially nowadays. We're all stuck looking at our computers and our phones and our toys and gadgets and with lights and whistles and bells that just stroke that dopamine thing in your brain that just makes you feel good. Well, it's not good for us. It's not good for the youth. It's not good for our future. We need to get outside, get our poles wet in the water, and get our feet dirty in the dirt, and catch some fish. And if you're going to catch some fish, you might want to go take them home, and you want to cook them. And the best thing, whether it's fish, steak, chicken, taters, pizza, vegetables, anything. Flavors of the forest, Bigfoot breath, garlic seasoning. It's freeze-dried garlic. You can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn. Makes a great stocking stuffer for any garlic lover in your life and makes all food taste better if of course you like garlic. This is the number one best garlic product on the market, in my humble opinion. It's a product I stand beside. We both stand behind. It's Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath. If you go to flavorsforce.com, like I said, /corn, you can get two bottles, or you can get it with our discount code, again, /corn. You can bring you some home today or buy some for your friend for Christmas. Highly recommend. And that's it.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
And we're back. Hopefully that was enough time.
I think so.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's so weird to me, the feral people idea. As in, that people... it's so weird to me that people don't take this more seriously. As in...
A possibility?
As a possibility. And I don't care if you're going the full wild humans. It's happened before. We've talked about the Vietnamese guy that was eating the little pigs in Florida.
Gosh, yeah, he's eating armadillos.
Yeah, and he thought that, you know, horrible story. Or the Native Americans could have survived their mass exodus, forced mass exodus,
yeah,
from the region and hid out there because they were already living there.
So terrible.
You just would have to, and it's full of caves. I mean, Cade's Cove is just full of caves and that kind of, like, you can just hide. Or the actual homeless population.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one aspect that most people don't even get into. Like, Wayne National Park has a whole homeless village, and they go down to Tennessee every year. And you don't know they're there unless you live there.
How do they get there?
Like, walk and hitchhike and everything. Like,
really?
You have to.
Well, I mean, I know you have to, but...
You'll freeze to death in Ohio.
Oh, you mean for that? I meant as far as transportation.
A lot of them hitchhike and do that and, you know, just get as far as they can.
I didn't know if there was like some like trail or something, or, you know, that's off the beaten path.
But, as far as I know, there's not.
Roads run through everything, you know, roads separate everything. So I was going to be shocked if there was like a trail from Ohio to Tennessee. I mean, there might be like some backwoods creek trail.
In the scary, like there's actual scary humans out there.
Heck yeah.
I've seen them.
Heck yeah. I've had dreams where people will come up like, out of the woods, like up to your house, and you see them coming the whole way. When I was a little kid, I used to have those dreams. It's scary.
Well, we had guns, so.
I mean, well, I guess I didn't in my dream. I don't know.
And there's been people, hermits caught in like parks like Cade's Cove.
Okay.
That just live out there. Guys and gals that just, like one guy that just lives out there. He's been out there for 4 or 5 years or 20 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And gets caught. Cade's Cove has had one.
At least.
It's got caught. Another horrible, like, there's tons and tons of theories, I guess. Before I get into this, we don't know what happened to Dennis Martin. There's nothing ever substantial has ever turned up.
Mm-hmm.
People have said that they've seen a kid running around. People say that it's how they recruit, basically. They take a kid every once in a while to become a feral person.
Huh.
Which we can explore that more. It's just horrible. This is a real kid that disappeared at the age of 6.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And there's the chance wildlife got him. But we can talk about it all. I don't know. I just seen it, and it's an area I'm so familiar with. I've been to all these places.
Yeah. And I've only stopped down in Tennessee, like, only a handful of times in my life where I actually stopped. And I think we went down, you know, the Gatlinburg area, the Pigeon Forge area. But that's, you know, a little different.
That's right here.
Oh, it is right there?
Cade's Cove is Townsend is the town in between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg.
Oh, gotcha. So I've been, yeah, I guess
people don't realize how close it is.
Yeah, I guess I didn't either. And I've been to those two areas to hang out, but you know, you usually stay in the town, the touristy parts.
So I stay in Townsend and drive to those two.
Okay,
because it's a lot cheaper. First off,
oh, fair. So I've been down there for that. So I know like the area, how mountainous and how wooded it is. Yeah, and it's just, you can get on top. What I really like, we would do this too when we're driving down to like Florida or something. I don't know. We haven't been down there in a long time, but we'd always stop in Tennessee and like stop on those like roadside, like pull offs where you can just, you're on top of the mountain looking down over the whole valley or whatever. Like that's awesome. I like, so I've stopped there for that, but you can stay on top and look at those. And my, like, as far as I can see, woods, like treetops. Mm-hmm. It's all
seas of green.
It's far, like in all directions, as far as the eye can see. So, I mean, if someone goes missing, good, I mean, it's terrible to say, but good luck finding them because it's just so vast.
I mean, many of them.
So hidden. Everything's hidden.
It's really hard, especially if you're not trained in it. Like, it's nothing against people that just turn up to help.
Right. No.
But if you don't know what you're looking for, it can be really hard to read a broken stick. And
right, yeah. Or just follow any sort of trail whatsoever, yeah. Excuse me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's unfortunate. I know this happens, too, so often. I mean, even with the missing 411, people go missing every single day, pretty much. So this for the six-year-old that's gone missing. Yeah, and there was no ever evidence ever turned up and nothing, was there? Like a clothing article, a shoe? I don't know. Was there any DNA evidence or anything ever found?
No, there's nothing. I mean, DNA is, this is the 60s.
Well, true. So I guess more just physical evidence, I guess.
They found a shoe and a sock, but they had no proof it was his.
Even his, okay.
They assumed it was a Boy Scout.
Okay, I mean, it could be anybody's. It could be someone that's not even involved in any of this at all that lost it, you know? But we've heard the stories, too, of like other stories of kids that do go missing on trails, right in, you know, right in plain sight, basically, with their families. Mm-hmm. But even then, some of those stories you hear of, you know, we found his shirt, his actual shirt he was wearing, but it was on a mountaintop, you know.
Yeah.
4 miles away or further, who knows? But I've heard those stories as well, too. So, yeah, I mean, who knows how many of these stories you get where someone's just gone missing and there's nothing. Like,
nothing.
Not a trace. Poof. Out of existence. It's sad and scary. And, yeah, let's explore the options because it could be many things. Could be very nefarious. It could be very innocent. A reason. It's just the way of, kind of the way nature is.
I mean, it could be, first off, you talk about wildlife.
Yeah.
There are tons and tons and tons of bears.
What about cats?
Now, Tennessee, I think, does have mountain lions, but I think they're, let me see if they're even listed still.
Okay.
Where it's like Ohio, I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't have mountain lions. I have a picture of and a track right here. We don't have mountain lions. Come on, there's, I don't know. You know how it is, but. Mm. I don't know. I just thought something, if it was a wildlife, an animal, you know,
no, they say they're not there.
Okay. So they could be there. Yeah. Shoot. I don't know how silent even hyenas are, but.
No, we talked about that hyenas are deathly quiet when they're by themselves.
When they're by themselves. Yeah. I mean, snatching someone up and just, especially a 6-year-old, not that big. They're not that big.
So there's tons and tons and tons of bears in Cates Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And the park rangers try to do it, and they do an amazing job, but there's just so many people. Even back then, there's still just so many people going, feeding bears, getting too close to bears, habituating bears, where I'm surprised, this is a credit to the park rangers there in Cates Cove. I'm surprised there's not more bear attacks.
Yeah.
Because the amount of people, I've told my story where the lady and the...
Gosh.
They were taking pictures of the cub.
Like 5 feet from it?
Yeah. And like, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine. He lives here.
Yeah. You're not fine. Yeah,
you're the one that's going to get ripped apart here in a minute. And it happens. I mean, it does happen. There are, most of the attacks are like single bite or a slash just to get you away from them.
And that's a deadly slash.
I mean, most of the time now it's not. I'm talking about in Cades Cove specifically.
Oh, okay.
It's just to move you, to get you off of them.
I just mean a slash from a bear in general.
I've seen people walk right up to him in Cades Cove.
Yeah, that's...
So there's a 150-foot rule.
Not smart.
In Cades Cove.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to get within 150 feet of any large wildlife. And the park rangers are really good at it. They'll stand right at the edge of the 150-foot. But, you know, it's people. It's
what do they have like a giant, like a long stick they use? Yeah. Like to measure?
Yeah, they're sure. Like, stay right there for a second.
Look at tape measures, and it's the self, the battery-powered that, you know, shoot out themselves.
I could see a bear snatching them.
Yeah.
And then the heavy rainfall and everything, any evidence if he was put in a hole, if he was put in a den, just carried off into a gully.
Yeah.
It rained almost 3 inches in the next 24 hours.
So anything in those would get washed out too.
Gone. He could be dozens and dozens of miles away from where he was unfortunately killed from a bear or another big animal.
Yeah. In the bottom of a river somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the Little Pigeon River is right there.
Mm.
And it goes, you know, it's a big river. So it could be any of that where he was, unfortunately killed by a habituated bear. Dragged off, stashed, bears stash food sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be it. And it's just the circumstances around it are why it's gone up to a paranormal level.
Right.
Of thousands of people coming to the search party, destroying all the evidence of everything.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
And then almost three inches of rain in a 24-hour period is just tremendous, especially in, those mountain ranges.
When you need small little things to, for evidence, try to find a trail, to try to find any sort of resemblance where he went. It's all gone.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, which thing do you want to talk about next?
Okay, so wildlife,
We could do actual feral people. Humans that have gone wild.
Let's just explore that next.
If it exists anywhere in the continental United States, in the lower 48, I mean.
Yeah.
If it exists anywhere, I believe it's Tennessee.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Because of the specific history, and I've heard the history, like I said earlier in the episode.
I could see it there and in Florida.
Florida and stuff like that. I'm just saying, Great Depression era, that's where a lot of the feral people stories come from, and even before that in the 1800s, but for the 1900s, the Great Depression era, all these people without food, money, stranded,
yeah,
coal mines closing, everything, and they just have to walk off and survive, and... You go a little nuts. You do some bad things. And
anywhere where there was like industrialization that kind of drove the whatever community. Because once that died and you had nothing.
It's gone.
So I could see that Tennessee, West Virginia, I bet.
Ohio had a bunch of it. Yeah. There's still coal towns in Ohio that are completely abandoned.
Yeah.
Because everybody died.
You still see the bones of the buildings or the structures there. Yeah. Not the people.
So it could be something like that. And they went feral and they're... not quite human anymore. Their brains have broke.
Which, that's what happens to them.
And then, maybe they're grabbing kids. Whether they're grabbing kids for non-nefarious reasons or nefarious reasons is up to you.
Well, I mean, I'd say any reason you're snatching up a kid that's not yours is going to be nefarious.
Well, I mean, as in, do they want to raise a kid? Is that what it is? Is it a motherly instinct or a maternal instinct?
Well, yeah, that's still like, it's not yours.
But you don't blame an animal for doing that. When a gorilla adopts a cat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's not because it's being nefarious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just because the maternal instinct
right.
is overpowering.
The natural instinct, yeah.
To care. So you see a lone kid and you don't put, and they just grab it.
Yeah.
Protection.
And now it is kind of nuts to think about how quickly just human beings or just society in general can turn to being, that feral state of mind or operating that way. Because if we didn't have any of our, we didn't have our communication, we didn't have our social structures that we've, I guess, grown to know. Because, it's all taught, really. If it's not taught, you are feral. I mean, at the end of the day, what separates us from feral people really is what I'm trying to get at. Just civilization?
Yeah.
Or civilization, but what am I thinking? What's the word? It's escaping
socialization?
Me. Socialization. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You can only be alone so long. We're very social species.
Right. Yeah. And that's crazy to think about because. I don't know. I guess if we weren't sitting here thinking and discussing thoughts and ideas of ways to live life, how to live life, what would we be doing? Mm-hmm. Surviving like out in the woods like animals? Yeah.
Next one would be the Native Americans hiding. This is a group of Native Americans or indigenous people that survived their mass execution and are hiding out. And they just, 250 years ago, or no, the Trail of Tears was in the 1800s, from 100 years prior.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there was the Native American boarding schools, which are another horrible practice. It was all the way into the well into the 1900s in the middle.
It, what is that? Just rehabilitation, basically?
That's what they, that's what they called it.
I know. Well,
it's to beat the native out of them is literally one of the slogans one of the schools had.
I mean, rehabilitation's terrible. Like, I was saying it in a negative way. It's terrible.
I don't know. I think now it has a positive connotation because you, like, rehabilitate criminals, rehabilitate drug addicts.
Yeah, but they're not,
But that's what I'm saying. The word, I don't think does it justice anymore.
I see what you're saying. But, like, applying that word to just because you're different.
Yeah.
That's what, it's terrible.
Yeah. So, whether it's something like that and they just survived and they're just in low numbers and they're just, they have that. And anymore now is an instinctual fear, hatred, aversion to, you know, settled people, I guess. Or, you know,
because
now it's.
It was forced indoctrination is what it was. Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's a better word.
Yeah.
Where it's something like that. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. I guess in my brain or my mind, after, I don't know. I just feel like.
It's been too long.
It's been too not that, but just after that amount of time, they wouldn't be snatching up kids or stealing them just because of the simple fact.
Here's the thing. I guess I didn't even mean that, the stealing the kids.
Okay.
I guess keeping the legend alive of feral people in this area and they're being used as scapegoats.
Oh. Okay. I mean, yeah. I guess I could see them. Surviving and being, because that's what they did. That's how they lived life. They lived it with nature in the woods. So the moment they go back out there, guess what? They're back at home. They're fine. They know how to do this. This is what they've done the way life should be. So I can see that them surviving out there. It wouldn't be even an issue. I don't see that being an issue at all. But I don't feel like they, I would say yes to them still existing out there. I would 100% believe it. I would say no to them being responsible for the kidnapping of this boy. That's my opinion.
Okay. So natives, I mean, even the homeless community out there.
Yeah.
There are.
Go ahead. From what we know there's good homeless communities and there's, let's just say negative. I don't even say communities, but at least individuals or maybe small groups.
I don't think they're homeless. That's getting into the next one.
Yeah.
Serial killers. We've talked about with disappearances. We do most of this stuff on the Patreon, but where there's, I believe, especially nowadays, that most of our active serial killers are using national parks as a hunting ground with the rest of the monsters. And I really, you okay?
Yeah. Okay. That's something in my eye. It should not come out.
Where serial killers or even, I don't know, worse is the right word, but other types of monsters that target children could be using these areas of high travelers, high percentage of travelers, right? All these people, you don't know the area very well. You're stopping in with your kids. It's easy snatch and grab kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that. And they're gone. And he's gone. You know, it's... Didn't stick around. You know, he's going back home. He may live 400 miles away. There was one serial killer that would stash all of his bodies in national parks in one area. So, and he didn't kill anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
He killed up and down the coast.
And brought them here.
And brought them into West Virginia, into a state park.
That's crazy.
So they're looking the whole wrong area.
Yeah.
So they weren't looking for any out-of-state plates. They weren't.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, but you don't. What do you, you know, the saying, you don't poop where you sleep.
Yes.
Or where you eat or anything like that.
Same thing, yeah. Same difference.
Where I believe, you know, they could be out of staters coming because you just leave immediately.
Yeah.
So they spend the first, 3 weeks looking for this kid here. And he's already back to Connecticut with this guy.
Right, yeah. No, that's craziness. Yeah, I mean, that's the scariest thing in the woods is people at the end of the day.
100%. I've seen a Bigfoot, and I've seen a guy I believe is could be a serial killer. And I'll tell you who I'm much more scared of.
The guy.
Yeah. And then there's the time slip, paranormal stuff. Like,
yeah, that's always a possibility, because we discussed that in our Missing 411 episode.
Yeah, that you just disappear. Like,
you just walk off into a whatever that is, you know, a different dimension, a portal to a whatever. I don't know how, I mean, there's many different ways to describe it. It's, to me, it's all the same phenomena, really. But man, I'm still thinking about just, the, not just serial killer, but just people in general being out there. And because it is happening. I mean, people live out there. We know that. Just that the thought of that idea is doesn't settle well. But, you know, that's why you got to also, when you go out to, you don't just go out to the woods, you know, willy-nilly. You take your time, you learn your land, you learn how to, you know, hike and be out in the woods and take care of yourself. These are important things to learn. So if you ever do or are in a situation where someone's got to jump on you and you need to learn to defend yourself, because that's scary stuff, especially out there by yourself. Two, I was thinking, you know, with the missing 411 stuff, I mean, let's start getting into a more nefarious, you know, because the national parks are all nationally, you know, was that federally owned or federally managed?
Federally managed.
I mean, I don't know who technically owns them. Is that the UN? Does the UN own the rights to the national parks?
We've talked about it dozens of times. It's a weird gray area.
Right. So, you know, it's 2025. We do have all this crazy, crazy, crazy technology now. And I believe we have a lot crazier and technology that has still yet to ever come out, but I think that already does exist, and a lot of it could be good, a lot of it's bad, I don't know, but I think there's a lot more that meets the eye. But with that being said, when you go out in the woods, the last thing you're really thinking about is technology and things like that. But so who knows what our government or whatever other powerful entities that manage these woods or can be out in them and undetected and can plant things out there like microphones and cameras and
the Wi-Fi lore. We'll do an episode on it because I found a couple stories with it.
Yeah.
If you ever see Wi-Fi where there shouldn't be Wi-Fi,
don't go to it. Don't find the signal source.
It's bad.
Yeah. Because like you said, it's a lure. But there's so much stuff we don't even consider, you know, just being out in the woods, because you just don't think of that stuff when you're out in the woods because it's not supposed to be there. So if there's like an operation set up to kidnap or steal people.
Or allow things to.
Yes.
That's what I think with a lot of national parks is it's just.
Allowing it to, yeah.
Monitoring the paranormal
in a controlled setting. And if you got cameras and, you know, coordinated cameras set up around the whole thing, you know, it's very sophisticated where you might not even need cameras. They can actually use Wi-Fi signals and read the Wi-Fi signals bouncing around your house. And they can get a 3D image from the inside of your house.
Yeah, any signal.
Which is crazy. They can reverse. But that's proven, and that can be done. So it doesn't matter if you have walls or anything in your house. They send signals through it, and they can see biological entities inside your home in real time.
So I may have misled you a little bit. Years after Dennis went missing, some ginseng poachers came across the remains of a human boy that were scattered by scavengers not terribly far from where Dennis went missing. But they didn't want to go to jail, so the poachers kept their mouth shut. So ginseng is a highly protected plant. There's a high market for it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So they were out there illegally stealing it off of national park land.
Which you can't do.
Which you cannot do.
No.
And ginseng takes a long time to grow. I know mushroom picking's a little different.
Yeah.
But ginseng takes like 30 or 40 years to get to maturity.
Oof.
It's not very big either. It's like,
yeah, it's, you know, small, it's like root, like ginger finger. Almost.
I think it's probably in the same family, I'm going to guess.
Probably.
In the 70s, though, kept their mouth shut. But in the 70s, they go to a payphone and make an anonymous call, drop an unsigned note in the mail. D.B. Cooper, you know, jumped out of a plane with $200,000 and was never found.
Yep.
Well, one of the tipsters finally got a conscience. Poachers finally got a conscience and told one of the original searchers about what he'd found. As a result, a search party of 30 made their trek to the North Carolina side of the mountain, but years had passed since the sighting, and they didn't find anything. Ultimately, thinks it's where Dennis is now, most people think. The mountain wilderness gave him a barrow and scattered the little boy. So some people think that was Dennis. So the two ginsengers they seen him years later after Dennis went missing. And then the one guy didn't report it until another group of years after that.
Okay.
So nobody found the body.
No.
It's just one guy saying that he's seen the body.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would lie about that.
Yeah.
But there's no proof it was Dennis.
Right, yeah. Maybe, exactly. Maybe he did see body or bones. I mean, again, it's a national forest that's gigantic. You don't know what's hiding in there or waiting to be found. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I kind of agree. Why would he lie about something like that? But, I mean, it could have been, but it also could have just as equally if not been him.
Another weird note is his father was adamant that he was kidnapped. Mm. Was super adamant that they weren't going to find him out there, that he was kidnapped. Whether, I don't know, you know.
I mean, maybe that's just his way, his brain's rationalization of
protecting itself.
Yeah, from like a harsh he's kidnapped. Someone's got him. He's out there somewhere, and we need mm-hmm. him. Other than
he's still alive.
Yeah, and, exactly. Know. It could just be something like
I
that.
I could see that.
And, I mean, that's what I would probably go to if it was. I mean, I don't have any kids, but if I did, I wouldn't. I would think of any possibility that they're still alive, and you know, even if it's horrible, but like someone kidnapping them. But at least the hope is they're still alive, and you can get them back. At the end of the day, that's all you want. So yeah, it's a sad story of poor kid, but it's, you know, a kind of a reality check that it's dangerous out there. It can be, but it's not to be feared. It is no, not to be feared.
Somebody just asked me about that. Yeah. I'll still take my kids to these places. I'll still do all this stuff.
You still need to experience the world and life. You know, everything happens for a reason, and whatever happened to this kid is terrible, whether it was nefarious or not. But, you know, I don't know. Everything happens for a reason. So don't be afraid to live life is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whatever outcome ends up happening, if you're compelled to do something, just take the effort, go ahead and do it. Do it. Live life. Be happy.
All right. I think that's it. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 63.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cribs the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.